Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, happy Mom's Day to all you. You know, I think on Mom's Day, you know, as you know, there's a lot of mixed emotions in the room. There's some that want to be mom, some that are mom, some that don't know what they want, but it's just, you know, it's all over the map, really, emotionally. And so, you know, sometimes it's a hard service to kind of navigate through, kind of figure out, okay, where do I land this ship, you know, or, you know, it just, it can be challenging, but the reality is that there's a lot, I think, in a mom's heart, you know, that you always look back and you wonder, well, how well did I do? You know, did I hit the mark? You know, sometimes you feel emotions of like, you know, did I do enough? You know, did I spend enough time with them? Do they know that I really love them? You know, and there's just so much, and sometimes there's regrets, you know, thinking, gosh, I wish, you know, I could have done it differently. But the reality is that I really feel like the Lord just wants to encourage moms today that you've done it well. You've done a good job. And a lot of times, you know, when a mom becomes a mom, it's not like you instantly know everything to do. You can only give what you have in your heart. And you really can't do any more. You can't be super mom. You can't be, you know, all these things that you hear other people doing. You can only do what you do well. And as you do it under the Lord, and you pour it into your children. And you know, you can't have regrets with that. You can't have a regret knowing that, you know, I really gave it my best. You know, I didn't know any more. I didn't know how to, you know, teach my children biology, you know? I mean, whatever it was. I mean, there are some limitations that we have. And so I want to encourage you that that maybe the season of motherhood, well, you know what? You never stop being a mom. I mean, really. Even though your children might have grown up and they've gone overseas and are, you know, with, you know, adventures and missions, and they're going off in the broad yonder. The reality is that you never stop being a mom, but it is a transition. It's a transition in your heart of going into a new season and really not looking back at the past with regrets, but looking for the future with hope and also caring for yourself, loving yourself, and thinking, I did the best I could with the help of the Lord. And to look forward to the future of what he has for you. So, moms, I just want to say, well done. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant under the Lord. I mean, you've given it your all, and no one is perfect. Let's just put that, you know, get that off the table. There's no perfect mom. So you've given it your heart, your soul, your mind. You've given it all you got, your energy. And in some ways, you're still giving, but it's shifted a little bit. And now, love yourself. Care for yourself. Don't beat yourself up and think, oh, gosh, I wish I could have done it better. I wish I would have spent more time doing this. You know what? Today's a new day. So we're going forward. Moms and I just feel the Lord's good pleasure over the moms in the house that have given of their heart, soul, everything to really honor the Lord with their lives and their children. So bless you, moms. You're wonderful. You really are. There's a lot of great things ahead for you. And one of those things is taking care of yourself. loving yourself and seeing that, wow, maybe I can go get myself a latte today, you know? I'm going to go starve and get a latte. So, you know, I'm going to, before I get into my message, I do want to just say one more thing just about how moms are so wonderful. You know, a lot of people are asking, you know, what can we do to fix this generation? You know, it doesn't seem like, you know, there seems to be a lot of individuals that need to be rescued. And in my mind, really, that one of the most powerful influences today is a godly mother's faith and prayer over her children. I mean, you have the ability to change the direction of your children's lives and then ultimately change the future, to even impact and change the world. But a mother's faith is so strong. And, you know, we read in Hebrews 11, it talks about the heroes of the faith. And it talks about Moses. But what you don't read there is that he mentions his mama. It doesn't say her name right away. But in that, it talks about his parents and the role that they played over his life to form him and shape him into being who he was to become, which rescued 2 million people out of Egypt and took him into the promised land, no small venture in itself. But it was the faith of the parents that made that whole thing possible. And he became one of the greatest men that has ever lived, and that we read in the scriptures. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, I mean, Moses had some parents that protected him from Pharaoh's murderers that were going about and killing all the children. And they weren't even afraid of what could happen. They were fearless. But as we see that as Moses grew up, you know, he was no longer under the faith of his parents, but he responded and walked in faith according to what the Lord had for him, because there was something that was deposited in his life as a little tyke that gave him the faith and the endurance to believe big. But you know what? The mother's name was Jochebed. And that name actually means glorious mother in Hebrew. And you know, she lived up to her name. And, you know, you think of her as this helpless slave in Egypt, but she raised up a son who changed history. And her courage and faith in believing in what God had for her son, you know, it says that when she looked at Moses, they said that he was a beautiful child. That's what we read. He was a beautiful child. But really translated means he's fair, proper. There was something special about that child. He was full of potential as a child. And, you know, I know every mother thinks her baby's beautiful, you know? I mean, they get out their phone, hey, look at my kids, you know? I mean, they think their child is beautiful. But it goes beyond that. She saw through eyes of faith the potential that was within her son, Moses. See, faith sees. Faith sees those little areas that you might not even see in yourself. And it's like a mother sees the gold inside of her children. And she's drawing it out by faith. She's nurturing it and bringing it forth. So there is no better champion, cheerleader, one that is in your corner, shouting your name, "That's my girl. That's my boy." And they see us with eyes that believe big. And it's the nurturing love of a mother's faith and in prayer that brings forth a child to come forth that where maybe they were timid and afraid and not, didn't feel like they really had anything to offer. A mother always believes and believes big in their children. So in that, she saw this little baby. She realized that Scripture even said that one of Abraham's offspring would be raised up, who would be very special and who would be one that would deliver the people Israel. And by faith, knowing the word, she was able to believe that this is this special child that God is going to use in a mighty way. But she was stirred in her heart, and nothing was going to stop her. And you know, I think it's so beautiful. You know, she releases her son in a little basket going down the river, you know, and just having to trust the Lord. And in that, as the baby is gathered up by Pharaoh's daughter, the reality is that this little baby gets to go back to his mama, and mom gets to nurse the baby and to care for him and to love him. But her faith was huge in believing what God had called. And you know, when I look back over my life, there were moments when my mother would encourage me in areas where I didn't feel very skilled at, let's just say. And mama could see something in me, and she would encourage me to, come on, it's going to be okay. So kudos to mothers today. Bless you, and I'm just grateful for all that the faith of the mamas in this house that are standing in the gap and believing for their children and are going to see great things come forth. So today I want to continue in this series called The Power to Change. Acts 4:31, it says at the end of that verse, after they had an incredible prayer meeting, and it says that the Spirit of God shook the house. I mean, wouldn't that be an incredible, like, Sunday morning service that as we just get done with prayer, that all of a sudden God just kind of like, hey, you know what? We did have a shaking yesterday. Y'all know that? Did y'all experience that? Oh, my goodness. I'm like, I was in the basement, and I thought, my goodness, honey, you got the washing machine out of balance. I mean, I could feel the house shaking. I thought, man, you got to get that fixed. And then Eliza just texted me and said, did you feel that? I said, yeah, I felt the washing machine shaking. That was a tremor. And I was like, oh, my goodness, we just had an earthquake. So I don't know if y'all know that. We did have, it was actually right over the Tennessee line. It was a 4.1 earthquake right over the Tennessee line. So, yeah, they even said they felt it down in Georgia, Atlanta. Come on. Go Atlanta, you know? So, but in Acts 4:31, it says they were filled with power. Now, you know what's interesting about that is that they were just filled with power in Acts 2 at Pentecost. And so there was a filling with of power that came upon them. So I thought to myself, well, why don't we receive some more power? I mean, They were continually filled with power. If there's more, I want it. I want more power. And I've been so taken and just, you know, how the disciples' lives were transformed from, if you look at them before Pentecost, and then you look at them after Pentecost, they are totally different. There is no fear in them. They are bold, courageous. They are willing to stand up against those that they were afraid of that would do as unto them as they did to Jesus and crucify them and kill them. There was no more element of fear in their lives anymore. And their lives were transformed from the inside out. They had such courage and power to take the gospel into all the world. And in that, the boldness and courage that they all received from the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, why not have another Pentecost today? Because you got to realize there were 40 days where Jesus was with them after the resurrection. And he spoke to them on one thing, on the things of the kingdom. What does the kingdom consist of? Mere words? No, but power. So he was cultivating, preparing their hearts for the more of his power. And then they had 10 days where they were alone, studying the scripture, praying, and we know Pentecost happened. They were radically changed. And I desire, my heart's desire is, I don't want to be a before Pentecost Christian. I want to be a after Pentecost Christian. And you know what my heart is desiring is that not so much that we have the power to do the supernatural, the signs and wonders and miracles, which those things are cool in of themselves, which are wonderful. But I'm endeavoring to see a power that can actually transform the inside of my heart. That I actually have the power to walk in love when I've been hurt. Yeah. That I have the power on the inside to forgive somebody that has been so unkind to me. Yeah. That I would have the power to overcome the fears and insecurities and struggles that I have on the inside. If somebody could be honest, are there ever any struggles that you're having on the inside that you wish you could get a hold of? Okay. If there is a power that is available by the Holy Spirit to transform you on the inside so that you can love that person that rejected you or spoke evil of you or mistreated you, or maybe even the fact that mom and dad separated, having enough love on the inside to be able to love well, to love unconditionally. That's power. When you can walk with a life that's being transformed on the inside, where your life begins to look like Jesus. The reality is that the disciples before Pentecost, in some ways, they didn't look like Jesus. But after Pentecost, you know what was said of them? They could tell that they had been with Jesus. And what were they really saying? Well, what they were really saying was, you're starting to act like your master now. And so it's having that walking victoriously on the inside when normally you kind of walk feeling defeated on the inside. It's giving you the power to really overcome those areas that you struggle with that could be addictions. It could be wrong thinking. It could be, you know, looking at the glass half empty and not half full. You know, it takes a lot of power to not think negative, but think in a positive way. So in that, I want to see this power released. So I guess my question is there anything that could be hindering you on the inside? And is there anything that maybe he wants to reveal to you that he might release you and set you free from on the inside? Where you have a power encounter on the inside. I believe I have a wonderful privilege of walking with several guys. We're going through the whole Bible in a year together. We're studying the Word. Well, we've been in Acts here lately. And I was so struck by a story of a eunuch that in Acts 8, it really, when you look at his life, it is one that is, it's kind of an example of one that would be a candidate to receive the power of God. And as I was studying it, I realized that there are conditions for us to receive more of the power of God on the inside. Okay? There are some conditions, prerequisites. There are some elements that I want us to look at. So let's first look at the story, Acts 4, verse 25 through 40. Acts 4, 25 through 40. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. This is out in the middle of nowhere. No man's land. It's out there. And so he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, which is actually 30 miles from where he was. Instantly, he was transported 30 miles. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So I want to look at the first prerequisite that I believe that we are to have to receive the more of God's power in our lives. And that is this. The first prerequisite is that we're to have a heart that is set wholly upon the Lord. You have given him everything, and your affection is upon him. You are wholly after God. You want God. You desire more of God. Your passion is him and him alone. In Acts 8, we read of a man who qualifies of all of these three prerequisites I'm getting ready to talk about, and it's this Ethiopian. And it says that he was going to Jerusalem to worship God. You know what's ironic is that he didn't even know who Jesus was, but he knew that he wanted God all the more, and he's passionately going after God into Jerusalem because he's wanting God wholly. He's wanting to give his whole life to him. So when we first read about this guy, this eunuch, he's riding along in the Gaza desert in the back of a chariot. And so we'll read in Acts 8, 27 through 28. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he came to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. I mean, apparently this man, he was devoted. He's a devoted student of the Word of God. He's reading the scriptures. He's studying the scriptures. Although he was spiritually blind, he hungered deeply for the truth of God's Word. He hungered for God's word. He wanted to know more of him. And he traveled all the way to Jerusalem to worship him, and he was still blind. But his heart was saying, God, there's got to be more to this life than what I'm doing. I need you, God. Your heart has to be so desperate for him, wholly given to him, that your life is no longer yours. You're like, God, unless you show up, it's all over with. So his heart was fully devoted to the Lord so that he traveled all the way to Jerusalem. So we read in, he's reading Isaiah 53, which is in the book of Isaiah, and he was desperate to know what the prophet was saying. He wanted to know what the word was saying. He was wholly given to him. So how can I say that I know that he was wholly given to the Lord? Because he's searching, he's probing, he's looking for, he's seeking after the Lamb of life. He's looking for the Lamb in the Word. And so in that, he was in a search, a deep search. He was in a deep search for God's truth and knowing him more. So I want to ask you a question. What are you searching for in your walk with the Lord? Is it for yourself or is it for him? Are you wholly going after him or are you going after what you can do in life? You know, there are certain things that that just take time and persistence and not giving up until you get your answer from the Lord. You know, a lot of times we kind of want somebody to lay hands on us and pray for us, and we get a Shazam moment, and we get filled with all that we need in God, and we can go on with God. But there's just certain things that you need to labor for, search for. You need to get into the Word. You need to allow Him to massage your heart. You know, when a potter is at on a kiln, you know, and they're spinning pottery. When you take the clay and you smash it down, you raise it up, you smash it down, you're getting the bubbles and the air out of the clay. But then when you draw the clay up, that is called discipline. That actually is a term that a potter uses. You're disciplining the clay. You're disciplining the clay. You're drawing it up. There's times when we need to allow the Lord, who is the master potter, to discipline us, to raise us up, to form us. And sometimes that just takes time. You know, we can't say to the potter, you know what? I would like to be like a little teapot. You know, I want to look like this. You know, the potter gets to make the decision on what you're going to look like. You just don't get to say, I want to be like a little teacup, you know, whatever. You know, the reality is he's forming you and shaping you. So lean into him and allow him to shape you. So I believe a candidate for someone to receive the more of God's power is someone that desires and thirsts for the Word. You desire the sincere milk and meat of the Word. Are you hungry for the Word of God in your life? God's Word needs to be your everything. It needs to be your guidance, your direction. It's not like you're just going to get a quick Shazam and all of a sudden life's going to have going to be a bed of roses. The reality is that David even said this. He said, direct my steps by your word, Psalm 119, 133. My heart stands in awe of your word, verse 161. And then he says, you magnified your word above all your name, 138, 2. You know, you can't stand in awe of God's word, have your steps ordered by him, unless you're in his word, unless you know his word. You got to be so desiring of the word that let the word transform you. Let the word shape you and mold you. We need more of the knowledge of the word inside our hearts. You know, to be a husband and to be a wife, to relate to somebody that is totally different than you, you need God's word to tell you how to relate to another person. Husbands, have you realized that your wives are different than you? Wives, have you realized that your husbands are really different than you? Well, guess what gives you a roadmap to relate to somebody that really doesn't even think like you, act like you, or talk like you? It's in the Word. It helps you to relate, communicate, love, care for. It shows you how to be with each other, who are two totally different people. How they can all of a sudden become one is a miracle in itself. But it's a good miracle. But the word shows you how the two shall become one. And it might even help you not maybe fight or argue as much, you know? But the reality is that God's word shapes you on the inside. You know, it's not just having a power encounter to come upon you and whoo, all of a sudden, you're doing new things like you've never done before, and all of a sudden, signs and wonders and miracles are flowing through you. You know, Jesus said to the Sadducees this, Matthew 22, verse 29. He said, you're mistaken. not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Do you know the scriptures? Because when you know the scriptures, you are a candidate to receive the power of God. You're a candidate to receive the more of God. He wants the word to be established in your lives, a bedrock in your life. You know, the author of Hebrews describes what true power, the power of God is. He says that all rest in God's word. So let's look at Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now that's a sharp object. And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Here's true power. That the Word of God is actually able to discern your heart. Because you know, there's sometimes we can't figure out what's going on down here in this little ticker. It's like, you know, there's regions in your heart that they're like uncharted territory. It's like David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I mean, but the word of God discerns what's in there, and it brings it to the light. And if there needs to be some, you know, excavation and removal of some things, it's removed. But the word of God exposes the heart of man, the heart of a woman. So the second prerequisite is a desire to obey God in every area of your life. I mean, this, the Ethiopian statesman is a clear example of this. He was still blind to spiritual things because he did not yet have revelation of who Jesus was. But his later actions prove he had a heart set on full obedience to God. So I want you to imagine this. This Ethiopian is out in the desert in a chariot, out in no man's land. It is desert. He's out there all alone in a chariot reading the book. Reading the good book. He's desiring God's word. He's out there alone. Doesn't even know what he's reading. But he's hungering for God. Well, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, even in a desert, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. It is amazing to me that the Lord saw the hunger in his heart for the word of God, for understanding who the Lamb of God is. And he took Philip from a revival. I mean, they were experiencing revival. I mean, signs and wonders and miracles, people getting saved. And he says, "Time out. Philip, I want you to go down to Gaza. I want you to go down there. There's an individual that I want you to talk to." He, in the middle of a revival, God's eyes were moving to and fro, and he saw that Ethiopian in that chariot. He saw the hunger in his heart for God's word, wholly devoted to him, and he said, "I want him." He caused Philip to go and run up to the chariot, and you know the story. But I think it's amazing, if God's looking to and fro, he's the same God today, yesterday, and forever. I think he's still a to and fro God. So is he looking to and fro right now across this congregation for those that are hungry and thirsting for his word and want to know more of him? Well, guess what? You're a candidate. You are an individual that God can have a Philip show up at your door, knock, knock, knock. What are you reading? So then it says that he's studying the scriptures, he's obeying the word, and then Philip is instructed in Acts 8:29. He says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join his chariot. So Philip set out for the Gaza desert, and when the chariot came by, the Holy Spirit told him, get in the chariot. So Philip introduced himself. So Philip climbs in, and immediately he asks the Ethiopian, so do you understand what you're reading? You know, the Holy Spirit knew. He was just setting him up. Do you know what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says, well, how could I unless a guide shows me, unless someone shows me the word? So can you show me? And Philip answered, yeah. So he invites him in. And he gets into the chariot, and as he's reading Isaiah, he begins to go through the scriptures and talks about the Lamb of God that was crucified, buried, and raised from the grave. And then it says, and that if you believe in him, you shall be baptized. And at that moment, the Ethiopian was so gripped that he said, what should hinder me from obeying the word right now? I want to be obedient to the word. If he says, if I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead and I shall be saved and then be baptized, why can't I be baptized? He wants to be obedient to the word. And I think it's quite ironic that they find, you know, a little pond out there in the desert. You know, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? I mean, you're talking a desert, and all of a sudden there's a pond, you know? And so all of a sudden, he said, well, what should prevent me from being baptized? Philip said, nothing. Let's get out. We're going to have a baptismal party in the desert. So in that, a prerequisite to being a candidate to receiving the power of God is to be one that is obedient. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll obey me. So then the third prerequisite is this, is to begin to step out in faith. Acts 8:38, and he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. Philip, as well as the eunuch, and he was baptized, and he baptized him. Philip gladly complied with the Ethiopian's request to baptize him. Yet as soon as they came out of the water, Philip suddenly vanished. I mean, that to me is remarkable. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way. Rejoicing. I've heard of people being transported, but this is actually in the Word. Somebody being transported, commissioned to go to a new spot. I mean, there's two points here I want us to look at. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that's being done in a hungry heart. A heart that really hungers for the Word, wants to know His Word. And it's also the release of God's power in that moment. Because the Scripture says that the gospel, the good news is what? The power unto salvation. It is the power unto salvation. And there's no more powerful thing than somebody getting saved. Somebody getting saved, snatched from hell, cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, given new life in Christ. There is no greater miracle than a soul that is saved. So the Holy Spirit, He knows your heart. He knows what's deep inside of you. And you know, if you don't have a hunger for the word, begin to ask God to burn within your heart a passion for his word. That you would be like all those two men on the road to Emmaus when they said, didn't your heart burn when he unpacked the scriptures? Your heart burns for the things of God. You want to know God deep on the inside of your heart. You know, God really doesn't give instructions for tomorrow. It's just for today. Because you know what? There's just enough grace for today in his word. And in that, I mean, he's got great things for tomorrow, but he gives you the word for today, which is his spirit will be behind you. And he'll say, this is the way you are to walk. Walk in it today. So in that, once you are hungering for the word, you want to know the word, you're obedient to the word, you then step out in faith in the word. And you begin to really position yourself to receive the power of God. Why is this so important? Because you know what? I believe, I have a sneaky feeling that the 10 days that the disciples were alone in the upper room, that they were studying the scriptures, that they were praying, that they were waiting, that they were wanting to cultivate their hearts to be candidates to receive the power of God. Because Jesus said to his disciples, it is better for you, it is to your advantage that I go away. And I always think, you know, I mean, I'd be like one of the disciples. What could be better than Jesus? But Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away, that you might receive the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that while how Paul was able to preach one of the most fiery sermons ever given after Pentecost and 3,000 souls came, he preached out of the book of Joel. Well, he was an average fisherman. I mean, he didn't go to Hebrew school. He didn't know all of the Torah. He didn't know the Pentateuch. He didn't know the scriptures. But he studied the book of Joel, and he preached from it. And he almost verbatim quoted the whole book of Joel in his sermon. And in that, thousands were saved. But he had cultivated a heart in the word and allowed the word to transform him on the inside out. And I know that's what he wants to do. That's what I desire. I desire to walk in the more of God. I desire so much now to grow in the word and allow the word just to become life to me, to become a living person on the inside of me, transforming me. I want to learn to obey the word in every aspect of my lives. And I want to be a man that is of faith in knowing if God says step out, by golly, I'm going to step out. And I'm going to be in faith. And I'm going to see the greater things that God wants to do in and through our lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's stand. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the scripture also says, let it be done unto you according to your faith. Who desires to receive more of God's power in your life to transform you on the inside? Who wants to have a visitation from the Holy Spirit to radically change you from maybe a fearful individual into somebody that is fearless and bold as a lion. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit can do, is take a timid, fearful individual, insecure, and transform them into someone that can turn this world upside down. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you said it is to our advantage that you were going to go home and be with the Father, that we might receive the promise, the promised Holy Spirit as a gift. And Lord, we know that the disciples were continually filled with your Holy Spirit and with power. So we're asking today, Lord, that you would tenderize our hearts according to your word. And that, Lord, you would prepare our hearts to be candidates to receive the more of you. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that your kingdom come. Your kingdom power come inside our hearts today. And that your will be done in our lives today. So we surrender all to you. We surrender our will. We surrender our ways. We desire to give you everything. And Lord, I pray right now that you would move upon your Spirit, and that, Lord, the gospel would be preached to anyone here that has not heard the good news of Jesus. That Jesus has died on the cross for your sin, so that you might have everlasting life forevermore and be with him. Father, I thank you and praise you for the power of the good news of the gospel. And I'm asking today, Holy Spirit, that if there's anyone here that just needs a touch from you, I'm asking, Lord, that you would move in our midst right now. I just want you to know that God's power is here to change you on the inside of your heart. And if you're struggling with anything that has dominated your life, that you've not seen victory in, that you've not seen a breakthrough in, I want you to know that the power of God is available to break through, to break open things, to release you from any bondage. The Holy Spirit is here to help you. He's called the Helper. And if you want the Holy Spirit's help, because you know what? You might be trying to do things in your own strength, and how well has that worked for you? So if you're needing help, the Helper, to help you get free from anything on the inside of your heart, I want you to come forward and get prayer. I want you to come on up and just get prayer. Because why not? Why keep going to church Sunday after Sunday, and you're still the same? You know, if you keep doing the same thing, you know, that's what insanity is called. Keep doing the same thing and keep getting the same results. The Holy Spirit wants to set people free. For to whom is set free is free indeed. Allow the Holy Spirit to set you free. It might even be that you need to be set free from something that is causing you to do the things you don't want to do. So if you need prayer, I want to ask the prayer team to come on up. Just come on up, please. Holy Spirit, I ask now that you would move in this place and that, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs freedom, freedom from anything, wrong thinking, any addictions, any struggles, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd move upon them to step out and just get prayer. And I thank you, Lord, that today is a day of salvation. If you never received Jesus into your heart, you're like the eunuch. Who's Jesus? Maybe you've never received Jesus into your heart. Today, receive him. Ask him to come into your heart as your Lord and your Savior and receive freedom. So, Father, I thank you and praise you. I thank you for this wonderful church. And, Lord, I pray you bless and keep each and every one. And, Father, especially today for the mothers in the house, I pray for grace upon grace to be poured out upon every mother. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that is here. And Lord, I pray today that you would lift up your countenance upon each and every one and give them your shalom peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need some prayer on anything in your life, you want freedom in, I want you to come forward and get prayer. I even welcome those who are visitors today. If you need prayer, come forward and get some prayer, because we serve a mighty God and he's here to set people free. He's here to set the captives free. So, Father, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. If the Holy Spirit is kind of, you know, tapping you right now on the shoulder, respond to it and get some prayer. And mothers, please don't leave without getting your goodies, because we love you. And we don't want all the dads to take all the chocolate. Amen.